Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Within football, we have silos.
You can talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast. We're on Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello.
And the Green Bay Packers won on Sunday night, 32-13 in Seattle against the Seahawks. What a wonderful game. All is right in the world. Most is right in the world, you know, football-wise. I mean, I guess the Lions lost. Vikings did win. But Todd, how are you feeling? First win in Seattle since 2008, which is a little surprising. I know it's been a house of horrors for us, but Sunday night was a little bit better than that.
I can't imagine one bad thing that's happened in Seattle. it was great. It was fun to hear the Packers fans chant "Go Pack, Go!" And it was early in the game.
Was it the first
drive for Seattle?
Probably the second after we had the lead and they really wanted to get loud. Yeah. But even seeing the pictures and videos from the crowd, it's like there are a lot of Packer fans here.
Yeah, it was wild. And this is a hot topic in the news. Did you see that there was drones on the West Coast also? They did a little drone event for I don't know if it was something about the 12th man or something like that.
Yes, that's right. I did. They showed that stuff is kind of cool. It's
super cool.
For now, yeah.
I think it's cool.
We're in a really cool time in the world with some technology like that. It's like, oh, drones are so cool. They can fly. They can go anywhere. You can turn any color. It's like, yeah, yep. What can they carry? What small spaces can they go all over the world with dangerous? Yeah, drones are awesome. I love them so much.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? But yeah, I mean, like you're talking about there, what a fun game. It's bad that thinking about Seattle, I don't even think of the Fail Mary anymore, even though if that outcome was different, I believe that would have changed our ramifications for the playoffs. And was that in 2014 as well? Or no, that was a couple of years before, wasn't it?
Ooh, 2014.
Well, 2014, the NFC Championship game is championship obviously the worst thing ever. But I'm saying the Fail Mary, I don't think it was that the same season?
The lockout year. Whatever the lockout year was. That was probably a year or two before.
I know it changed something with the playoffs for us for where or who we would be playing, but I don't know how important that is to get into. But I don't
2012.
It was a couple of years before. Oh, so I'm thinking that was, would we have made the playoffs? I don't know. We don't need to get it. I think
it was week three.
Right. But I think that's when
you're saying it had implications down the line.
It's when we lost to the Niners in San Francisco. That game would have been at Lambeau instead had we won that game. But I mean,
and
I think Colin Kaepernick probably would have done well.
Over the last X amount of years have played really well in the playoffs at home. So we know we would have won that game. Especially against California teams.
Yeah. Well, that might have been, it's probably before late stage Rodgers. He might have still had a little bit of Superman's cape left in him. What did you think of the jerseys on Sunday?
I thought it was pretty electric to go Color Rush, Color Rush. For those of you who remember Color Rush days, that was a while ago now. I feel like kids probably don't remember Color Rush anymore.
4 years ago?
I'm just saying, it's only 4 years ago? No, more than that. Color Rush is old.
I don't think Color Rush is old at all. Yeah, you better look that one up too. Because, I mean, the green makes sense. I like doing the all whites away. I feel a little odd not wearing the green jerseys.
2016 was the debut of Color Rush.
Okay, 8 years ago, I guess, kind of
saying
between, not super long ago. Yeah, I don't. What about the Vikings jerseys last night? Those were
horrible,
ugly. It's like the helmet was just so fucked. You can get away with it on the jersey, but the helmet bad.
I actually think they looked pretty good. As bad as that sounds, I am for Color Rush. I think it's cool every once in a while.
The Vikings throwback darker purple jerseys, I think, are their best looking one when Favre was there, and it was like kind of the throwback 70s where it's darker purple, the white stripes on the shoulder. The worst was like the I guess it was the same era, but like the white weird.
Yes, like, yes. With the font, where the font was weird on the jerseys.
I think the font still might be a little weird, but it was like the lighter purple. It was just ugly, ugly, ugly.
Yeah, the jerseys when Favre was there for the Vikings were like some of the worst jerseys.
The Vashante Shenko years, yes. Bernard Berrien years, yes. But this game, again, Packers winning 30-13. We'll get into a breakdown the offense and defense, take news. We'll talk about the updated playoff implications. Maybe we'll talk about the roster a little bit. You know, we're getting late in the year. Some teams have to start thinking about the draft, but not us. We're not a poverty franchise. We'll have Stump Spenny, some Packers trivia, and preview the game against the very good New Orleans Saints. But first, again, Packers win of something else. Did you see who rose the 12th man flag for that game pregame?
No,
for?
I didn't.
It was John Ryan. Do you remember John Ryan?
Yes, I do.
Probably up. This is how good Ted Thompson was. Probably one of Ted's worst mistakes was cutting John Ryan to move on to like Derek Frost, or we didn't even have anyone. Then we had shitty punting going on until we found Tim Mastey, but obviously the Seahawks picked him up, was a great punter for them. And I don't know if you remember this, but that fake punt against the Packers in the NFC Championship game, he threw that pass. AJ Hawk gets away with a lot. Bostic and Morgan Burnett, Julius Peppers, and Haha Clinton Dix get a lot of the shit. AJ Hawk not covering that fake kick was like one of the worst parts of that game. Anyways, what did not like seeing John, obviously, you know, siding with the Seahawks on that. I'm sure he probably played there a lot longer than with us. That very, very pasty, redheaded muscle man.
Is he jacked?
He's always had like big arms for a punter. Some of those guys just, for whatever reason, I'm sure.
Steve Weatherby who?
But they really didn't ride that high after. I'm sure people were very excited saying, oh my God, who's the celebrity for this game? John Ryan, the former punter? Holy shit.
And let me just say this. The Seahawks played like a punter raised the flag for them. So
there you go.
It was fitting.
Good point. But Packers winning 30-13. This is the fourth straight game that the Packers have scored at least 30 points. It's tied for the second longest streak in franchise history. That was shocking for me to hear with all the Rodgers years that we had.
That's weird.
And especially like 2011, we didn't have a stretch of four games in. Well, maybe we did. I didn't look up what the years were. But for that to only seemingly happening once before this is pretty shocking. And I mean, God, just the start of the game. And this has kind of been what the offense has been for the last month. But Josh Jacobs, I wonder, are we going to just start trying this to start every game where it was the Josh Jacobs drive where if we didn't run it with him, we threw it to him. The only play that didn't go to Josh Jacobs was when Jordan Love scrambled to nearly score. I think it was a yard or two short. And then that stupid penalty that the Seahawks got hitting Jordan Love late. But I like that. Dude, should we keep sticking with the Josh Jacobs offense here starting off these games?
I like it, but I think it'd be fun to like, let's say we come out and we do it against the Saints and then against the Vikings, come out and just do the deep ball, just a big play action right off the bat and chuck it to Christian deep, let him redeem himself.
Mm. Like we did against the Lions, which worked so well.
It has to work in this scenario.
Okay. That's a very good point. Hey, I guess I wouldn't be shocked if we do that in a week or two, or whatever, when we're playing in Minnesota and Christian Watson can get that big play back. Jordan Love. Again, I mean, he's just been, we haven't had to rely on him, but he's been pretty damn good since the bye week. 20 for 27, the two touchdowns, 229 yards, no picks, was not sacked in this game. But again, he's just been, He's been the game manager. You don't want to use that, but it's almost like the first half, we run the ball a little bit more, get everything settled. He just manages the game, doesn't put the ball in any unsafe spots. And then the second half, it turns into, okay, you can keep playing this game, or like against the Lions when we didn't have a lead, Jordan can go into Superman mode and air it out a little bit. But it's like, it's nice to almost have these games of two halves where as long as we have this lead at halftime, it's like, cool, we should be able to just coast in a lot of these games if that's what we can do going forward.
Yeah, it does feel weird to have a game manager at quarterback, because that is effectively what Jordan Love has been acting like. And I don't think he's a game manager. He obviously has a ton of arm talent, but it's like, that's what's been happening, and it feels really weird. I'm not sure how to feel about it yet.
Yeah, and I mean, there has been, we still get the blips. I like the chemistry between him and Christian Watson now. Last year, there was one of the biggest complaints we had was how bad Jordan Love's deep ball was. It has been so much better this year, even if we haven't seen it as much, to the point now where we're actually getting pass interference calls on these deep balls when they weren't close before, which I think it kind of shows like the chemistry getting better, because it's like, hey, the plays are there now. You know, we might not always connect on them, but I mean, we got another 30, 40 yards in this game from Christian Watson, on one of these plays too. So I'm liking it here and there.
Well, there was two. There was the one to Christian Watson, and then there was the one to Romeo Doubs at the goal line.
Yeah. Do you think we should have kicked that field goal or gone for it?
I was go for it the whole time, because I'm like, what are the Seahawks going to do? They're like, let's go for it. Put your foot on their neck.
Yeah, that's where I was at too, because it really has been this season. I think we started off where we were going for it a little bit more, and I do think, looking back now, it's because we didn't trust Braden Narveson at the time, who, did you see, he signed back with Tennessee on their practice squad.
Oh,
he went back.
Good for him.
Tennessee told him their plan was to keep him on the practice squad and to have him learn, and then maybe next year be the kicker. And he's like, eh, okay. And then he leaves, goes to Green Bay, and now he's just back to where he would have been anyways. But yeah, I don't know if that's part of it, because it's to the point now where I almost feel a little soft. Like the last 4 weeks, we're a lot more conservative, and it feels like every time we go out there to do that fake fourth down,
I hate
pretending
it.
Like we're going to snap it. Yeah, I absolutely despise it at this point. And then we even went for it on fourth down. Right. We went for it once on fourth down in this game with Josh Jacobs, and we weren't able to get it. So I don't know if that's something we should keep attempting in the future here.
Definitely not. It's dumb. Nobody falls for it. It doesn't do anything. It just wastes all of our lives.
Yeah, the screen game was working a little bit better, especially early on. I mean, those couple passes to Josh Jacobs obviously got us going. Love did have that one bad throw to, remember, Romeo Doubs is like wide open. He missed him short, and apparently Jaden Reed was deep too. There's always just one bad miss from Jordan Love just about every week.
Well, he rolled out to his right like three or four times, and all the balls were bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single time he rolled out and threw on the move against the Seahawks, it was bad. He threw that one across the body to Christian Watson, which was eerily similar to the throw he made last year in the the divisional round to lose the game against the Niners, where he's running out to his right and he whips it across his body to the middle of the field. It was a horrible ball. And then every other one, I mean, I think he threw one super short that we got a PI call on down the right sideline. And it's just like, I don't know what the deal was, because he's not always bad throwing on the run, but Sunday he definitely was.
And all that aside, again, 30 points fourth game in a row. It's reaching the point now where I'm expecting points on every single drive, especially when we're getting like good field position. And that happened a couple times in this game too. Looking back a year ago, when we couldn't buy a first down, it felt like in a couple of those games, to just assume points, this is kind of where I expected this team to be. Like, if you told me the record of this team, some of the yardage, maybe some of the stats for how it looks, I'm like, this is what I expected. Where we are in the NFC playoff picture is the one thing that's a little bit different, but hard not to, be excited at this point in the season.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's nitpicking, but I do think it would be nice to see LaFleur be a little bit more aggressive at this point, because not everybody's going to have, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities to go up against Sam Howell in the second half. Yeah,
that was, I really thought he was going to play better too, just with how much he started last year for the Commanders, but whatever. Whiteouts, I'm going to start with Romeo Doubs. I mean, 3 catches, 40 yards, the 2 touchdowns. He didn't even lead the team in receiving yards his first game back after the concussion, after missing, was it 1 game? Was it 2 games? I think it was two games. But I mean, God, 3 catches, 2 touchdowns, both very cool. The first one, he dragged a couple guys into the end zone.
Yeah.
That was fun. I feel like we've had that happen a couple times now with Josh Jacobs the previous week getting that. And then the second touchdown, just the softest scooping arms you've ever seen. I was, I forgot who tweeted it out there, but they said that every Romeo Doubs catch or drop, like the throw doesn't matter. It's just always the same percentage points, like if he's going to catch it or not, because he'll drop the easiest ones right to him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden something like this, like these are the plays we were talking about last year and maybe earlier in the season where it's like, just make the plays that are there. And this is above and beyond that, where you once again have to get excited going into the playoffs when the offense is looking as good as it is right now.
Yeah, his catch too there, the end zone, reminded me of, do you remember when Troy Polamalu like came out of nowhere and picked that ball off? This is going to be really good radio. Mm-hmm. You should tweet this somehow and like put it out in the Ethernet or internet. Mm. I don't know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But he like Troy dives and like just by like the skin of his teeth, like picks the ball off. And like in live, you're like, there's no way he caught that. And then they do the replay. And this was like in 2007. So the replay was horrible too. Mm. But like the ball is within like half an inch of touching the ground, but it never touches.
He catches it like that meme, or like if you're Christian or Catholic, whatever, like breaking bread or whatever, communion, when the priest or whatever is holding up the bread or whatever. That's what it is, where it was like the two hands for Troy Polamalu dove forward and somehow caught that ball. I think that's the play that I'm thinking of. Whatever, he had a bunch of good plays back in the day. It's still wild seeing him and what they were, him and like Bob Sanders, those highlights are just unreal.
Bob Sanders is my favorite.
Yeah. When he was healthy, which was few and far between. Still with Doubs, LaFleur said on Tuesday that he's never been around someone who uses the jugs machine more than Romeo Doubs, which I thought was pretty interesting. We hear a bunch of guys staying after practice and stuff, but I hadn't heard that before. And again, the PI call was huge too, so it was a lot of extra yards there that he helped with the offense. And then the guarding cap. That was... Are you ready for my name? My name for it? I wonder if he's gonna wear it here on out, or if this is the only day for it. Double dome Doubs. Double dome Doubs. He's got 2 domes on. He's got his helmet. He's got his guardian cap on. So he's safe. What do you think?
I don't like the guardian cap. Just like imagine Why? Having to wear that. And then like, because it's got to be like a little bit heavy, right? If it's going to protect you, it's not super light, fluffy foam, right? Like there's like some weight to it. Imagine like running and breaking in out of your cuts and your head's just fucking wobbling around.
I'm thinking of it like being made out of the same material as like a life preserver, like that kind of harder foam, but it's light, you know, maybe the older ones from back in the day. Because if you had that on there,
it looks stupid though.
I'll say that his looked better than others. Others look more bad. Others look more bad.
I think they all look even bigger because it was all white too.
That's what I mean. Like with the white helmet, it almost worked. But if it were yellow, I think it would look more goofy. Other guys, you see it and it stands out a lot more. With him, I thought it fit a little bit.
It doesn't look as bad on like the linemen because they're already gigantic people.
Fair.
But on like a wide receiver, you're like, oh, it's a literal bobblehead.
I guess like a scat back running back, those are the ones where it really looks bad.
Do any running backs wear that thing?
We saw it during training camp and practices and stuff, because early on in the offseason, everyone has to wear them, I think, if they're doing certain things. So I don't know. This is the first year that they've actually been allowed to wear them during actual games. Christian Watson, 3 for 56, no touchdowns. He had that PI too that we talked about. Another solid game. Catch on the sideline was very cool. He still kind of body caught it if you watch it back, which is funny. You just see, of course, his dad when he's like, body catches, what about these? And he posts three fucking highlight catches where the ball was thrown so high he couldn't body catch it, like he had to use his hands. It's like, wow, this is really good proof. You know, your kid's been in the league for fucking 3 years now and you found four of them where he didn't body catch it. But it's like, it's not like I'm complaining. He's been phenomenal the last
month. Yeah, he's been great.
He's just been a lot more solid overall too. Like in the middle, he's getting those slants. He's running guys over, more reliable, taking a couple hits. I like that. There seemed to be a more concerted effort to get Jaden Reed the ball too. He finished with the three rushes for 27 yards, along with the five receptions for 34. I assume that is a direct result of him not having a single catch last week, and Matt even seemingly apologizing to him after the game.
We got a Jaden Reed drive. Like, remember he ran, I think the three rushes all came on one drive, right?
There was like two, it was like the little pop pass. One of them was like a little pop pass because it was back-to-back first downs that he had. I watched the game back and he had, it was like at least three touches on like that series of downs.
Yeah, it was definitely like good to see him get the ball, and you always want, like, just because there's so many times where he turns nothing into 20, 30 yards, which is so fun to watch. I mean, obviously they were kind of, the defense did a pretty good job of like swarming all the like end around style plays. So props to Seattle for that. But, you know, in general, he was still turning the corner and getting, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards, which is always fun.
He did fall on that one pass, which was kind of a bummer. That third down,
he
didn't get. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that too. He also leads the league. I heard someone say this, so I'm just going to repeat it. He leads the league in rushing yards by all wide receivers, which I suppose makes sense. I'm not quite sure who would, especially with Debo having the year he is.
If you watch the Bears-Vikings game, it looks like in Chicago, they're trying to do that with DJ Moore. He ran the ball 12 times.
I had that game on split screen. It was like 7-10 Atlanta and whoever, and then it was like 10-0 Chicago Vikings. I'm like,
it was a horrible game.
I don't think I need to watch either of these games. And then Dontayvion Wicks, again, he's been fine, not lighting up the stat sheet, but I almost feel like we're building a base for him after the inconsistencies we were seeing with him being a little bit more involved. Maybe we'll build up to that a little bit. But again, I mean, this week, 2 receptions, 14 yards. We'll see what happens with him.
Still a guy that you want to, like, when the ball's in his hands, he's so much fun to watch.
Tucker Kraft, he had a fun play. The free play where Jordan Love just chucked it deep and Tucker Kraft came down.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Again, he finished 2 receptions, 34 yards, that long of 26. But again, it's just, and in this game too, he's not getting those red zone targets. I really hope when we get to the playoffs, it's like, if it's not Josh Jacobs getting the ball, I want it to be Tucker Kraft number two, and then Jaden Reed, and then whoever else. Maybe Christian Watson, if we can, you know, throw him some. I'm still a little weary of young quarterback Jordan Love throwing those types of balls in the red zone because they're a little risky. But with Rodgers, you know, when he went on that run, he was a huge red zone target. So maybe we'll see that. But I don't know. Tucker Kraft still our sweet baby boy.
You're missing the number one red zone target on the team.
Who?
Malik Heath.
Oh, yeah. I believe he was a healthy scratch in this. Yes, I know he was actually a healthy scratch in this game.
I don't know. I've seen some stuff to make me believe.
And we'll have to see. So Collinsworth talked about this too when he was talking with LaFleur about the riches that they have on offense, how Luke Musgrave's going to be coming back. Yeah. And LaFleur was like disheveled where he's like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think it once again shows, I wonder what we're going to do with Luke Musgrave. Because again, I don't want to get guys involved with this offense if we run any type of risk of throwing off whatever momentum we already have going.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like Musgrave's going to get a lot of shots to touch the ball. I don't know. Like, especially when you hear LaFleur like kind of disheveled like that, it's like, well, to me, that means like he knows he can't take snaps away from these other guys. So he feels bad for Luke.
Yeah, and well, and still with him too, because it's not like, I mean, he had training camp and then he played in a handful of games and then got hurt, played again the one game, and then he's been on IR ever since. It's like, I don't even know how well of football shape he's in. He's been practicing now. This is his second week practicing in a row,
right?
As long as he's, I assume he's going to be practicing tomorrow, but I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing to look at down the line here, and I just don't know if the risk is going to outweigh the reward with him. Josh Jacobs, I mean, still great at football. 26 carries, 94 yards, the one touchdown. He did not have, oh yeah, he did. I'm fucking dumb. Four receptions, 42 yards. Obviously, he had a couple of those nice little screen passes too. Underrated play, the first play of the second drive, Josh Jacobs catches a pass at the line of scrimmage, just like a little drop off, jukes the shit out of the first guy, runs right yep. down the middle of the field, and then just runs through the second guy who should have tackled him and picked up another 10 yards. It's one of those we're watching live. I was like, this is awesome. And then I watched it again. I'm like, I forgot about this play completely. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was a super fun one. I actually rewinded the tape and watched that one twice, like live, because I was like, that was like when you watch the safety or corner, whoever it is that's coming downhill after he crosses like the first down marker and just like ragdolls off of him. I'm like, geez, that's insane. And then he like drags a couple more guys after the, you know, second and third contact. He drags them for like another 5-7 yards before the third guy finally comes in and puts him down. It's like, holy crap, dude.
It just looked odd. Like, I don't remember seeing guys bounce off of players in that way. I think that's what made it just so interesting, just so fun to watch. He did have that fumble, which sucked, only his third of the season. I think week one and week two he had fumbles and hasn't since, and that was his first one. So his third on the season. I actually looked it up. Aaron Jones has 5 fumbles on the season. Josh Jacobs has 3. So there you go. And then looking at the stretch that he's on here too, where it feels like we do really well in the first half, and then the second half we don't run the ball as well, especially this game. Again, I feel like everything was just...
You didn't think we were running the ball as good in the second half?
No. I feel like every other run, we were like met. He was met in the backfield, which was just less than ideal. But again, like we're still looking at this offense as, you know, we've been putting up 30 points 4 games in a row. We're running the ball more. Josh Jacobs' rushing average, the last 3 games, most recent to furthest away, 3.6, 3.7, 2.3. And then it was 4.1 the week before that, which might have been against the Lions, which we lost. And it's just like, I don't know what efficiency is from the running back position anymore, because Aaron Jones always, you could count on over a 4-yard average for him. And now we have Josh Jacobs, and it's like, well, maybe just grinding the ball and not getting huge chunks every time isn't that important. I don't know. I'm a dumb idiot.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to like look at his efficiency in the first half versus the second half, I mean, it would be night and day, right? Like it's completely different guys. If you had, you know what I mean? If you were to look at it like that. So that's the difference to me is like, hey, in the second half, they all know we're going to run. The line is good at like moving people off their spot on double teams and stuff. But like, I think if you know the Packers are going to run and you line up to stop it and you put the right personnel on the field, those guys have a hard time moving anybody. That's what it seems like to me. So when we get into those for sure running situations, those drives get absolutely stalled.
Yeah, and I think it's just the defense adjusting to where it's like in the second half, it's like, well, maybe we don't want to let them keep running on us.
Yeah, they just come out and base, and then it's like, oh, now what are you going to do?
And we're talking about getting guys back here too. Chris Brooks, again, he had just one rush for 6 yards, but he had that nice little swing pass where he picked up 9. He seems to get just a little bit more than you think he should on most of his plays. Emmanuel Wilson was fine too. And it makes me think now, do we want Marshawn Lloyd back this year? Do you want... I don't know what the team's going to do. I think he still has another 2 weeks left where he has to be on IR with his appendix getting removed. But a rookie who hasn't played at all, I think he has like 10 snaps on the season, who has fumbling issues, but he's a home run hitter. It's like, do you want that guy to have snaps in the playoffs? Because I don't know if I do.
I don't know. That's a tough one. We haven't seen enough of him to really have a good feel. We haven't really seen any of him to have a but feel for what he is. I mean, I would say if there was one person that I would swap him out for, it would be Emmanuel Wilson. Because the usage of Emmanuel Wilson has gone down significantly the last few weeks. So it's like, does it hurt to not have him? Maybe a couple more plays with Chris Brooks in there instead. I mean, that's not really going to change much in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, I think Emmanuel Wilson's a better runner than Chris Brooks, but like at this right. point, we don't need another great runner. So
yeah, it's again, I just it's weird. I don't want to screw up the chemistry, which brings up this part, the offensive line. Again, no sacks given up. We ran the ball enough to win the game. Again, like not super, super efficient. Same line we've had all year. Walker, Elton Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. The Packers are blitzed. I forgot who tweeted this out. It might have been that Dyer guy again. The Packers are the most blitzed offense in the league, 37% of passing snaps, yet they have allowed the second fewest snaps of any team in the league. I thought that was pretty...
Second fewest sacks.
Yes, second fewest sacks of any team. So, and I think they threw some graphic up, which is something that we've talked about. But again, I think that our top five guys have like the most snaps, or maybe it was the second most snaps of an offensive line unit in the entire league. And I just feel like that's an extra little superpower that you get. Like the Vikings, when they made that run with Case Keenum back in the day, I think a huge part of that is their entire offensive line played the entire season.
Right.
The year before that, the offensive line wasn't very good. The year after that, it wasn't very good. It just seems like sometimes if you get the same five guys out there, they can gel and just make shit work.
Yeah, and I feel like the Packers have done that for a lot of their years, and that is partially why they've been so successful year after year after year. It's like you put the same guys on the, you know, team after team after team too, right? So it's like, you go with guys that have chemistry for 5-6 years together, and it's just like they don't have to talk in those away stadiums. They don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that is a huge advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. And still, Sean Ryan, he's grown on me more and more. He's just weird. You see, Ty Dune wrote some piece about him too, being a hard ass or whatever.
No, but I think, like, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, Sean Ryan is like the most like pleasant surprise of the year. Like, he's turned my expectations for him completely 180. I'm like, kind of thought he was like, yeah, he's a mauler, but like he sucks, he can't get to a spot, like can't pull. Now it's like the dude is solid, like, and he obviously is a mauler, which is great.
I guess I lean optimistic with most of the players, but I'm not shocked with how he's been. I guess it was surprising that they were rotating to begin the year with how well he's played too. I think according to like Pro Football Focus, he's the best player on our offensive line, maybe besides Zach Tom.
Yeah, I'd say Zach Tom's gotta be.
I think besides Zach Tom, but it was funny because Ty Dune wrote some piece where he's like, he's tough. I should have the actual quote up, but he's like, he's helping change the whole dynamic of how people look at Green Bay. And it's like, dude, Ty, you have wrote this piece multiple times, and I've referenced this before here. I think it was 2020. He said how this was the new age tough Packers team because out of that draft class, they had like A.J. Dillon and Jay Sternberger, because Jay Sternberger talked shit to Jadeveon Clowney once, and A.J. Dillon is a unicorn. So this is a tough new age team. Hey, guess what? That didn't happen. That actually
both
didn't
those players
happen.
Are very good, though.
Yes, especially, we're not going to get into that. With that, quick commercial break.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, I mean, pretty good. 13 points. They knocked Geno out of the game, so that kind of puts an asterisk on there. Really weird hit that he took, too. I know it was a lower body thing, so you don't really know, but it didn't look bad to me. It didn't look like his ankle turned much, so I can only assume he's faking it.
Oh, he was definitely faking it.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, I think we said off the top, but people were getting worried late, and I guess when Jaden Reed muffed that one punt, and I mean, he did end up recovering, that's when I got a little worried. But it was like, they cannot move the ball with Sam Howell. I don't know, like, unless they're getting the ball in plus territory, and maybe if they're only running the ball, but
well, they did get the ball in plus territory, and they didn't do anything.
Right. Right. So that happened.
Nothing.
If Geno was still there, maybe I would have gotten worried. But I mean, coming out of this game, and once again, the second time this year this has happened, but Edgerrin Cooper, is he like really good? Is he? Because I was trying to think. You know, you think about the guys who really change the way you look at the football team, and it's like Aaron Rodgers. It took a while, a little bit. Clay Matthews, he came on right away and was really good. Jair Alexander, pretty early on, you knew he was a guy. I don't know why Casey Hayward popped up in my brain, but Casey Hayward too a little bit. And now it seems like, because you look at a guy like Rashawn Gary, and we still don't know how good Rashawn Gary is, but it's like, oh, he had a really good game. Oh, he disappeared. Edgerrin Cooper, it's like, it's getting to that point where when he actually gets snaps and he's playing, it's like you can't say anything other than that he's a great football player. Like, when's the last time someone popped up on the scene for the Packers defense this good? Rasul Douglas? I think Rasul is about the only guy you could.
That's actually a good one.
Because other than that, I mean, this game alone. So he played 34 snaps. He had 7 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 pass breakups, 1 sack, and the INT, which I thought he was going to score for a second because he's so fucking fast, too. And it's just
fast.
It's so, you know, for years, Ted Thompson would not take an inside linebacker early. We finally do with Quay. And now it's like, oh, actually, Edgerrin Cooper might be the guy. Are we getting too excited about this guy, or is he the real deal?
He definitely looks to be the real deal. It's really tough with, like, rookies, and, like, I do feel like, especially with, like, rookie defenders, there's, like, a sophomore, like, couple steps back. But Edgerrin Cooper looks like he just gets ball. Like, he just, like, you put him in a position, even if he's never done it before, he seemingly just, like, you know, like when he blitzes, when he, you know, when he's the guy that leads the stunt, he's good at that.
Sack. Like, that stunt sack was pretty.
Yeah. And you're taking a guy who's an inside linebacker, putting him up at the line and asking him to move guys off their spot so somebody else can run a twist, and he gets the sack. And it's like, and he did his job too. You know what I mean? It's like, he wasn't just, like, wrong place and, like, fluke position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes wide receivers are the wrong place and they somehow, you know what I mean?
Rashawn Gary's never had a sack that he didn't earn.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But, like, you, and then you look at him in coverage too, and he chases stuff down sideline to sideline. You know, he drops into coverage, and I mean, the pick was the easiest pick in the world. He threw it right to him, but, like,
but he got back there really quick. Like, it's tough for linebackers to drop like that.
And he defends 2 other passes. So it's not like he just, like, it's not fluky things. Like, he's putting himself in the right spot. And, like, the one where Quay got hurt, he comes from, you know, the far left side of the field, and you see that speed chase the dude down that's running the crosser and, like, makes the play. And it's like, dude, this guy, I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, which, please God, let him stay healthy. Like, this dude looks like the real deal. We could have an off-ball linebacker that's legitimately, like, he could be an all pro if he continues.
It's like that bonus. Like, I feel like on offense, the tight end is a bonus. On defense, your inside linebacker is a bonus, because you don't expect anything out of your tight end really on offense. Like, it's just whatever.
Yeah.
But if you have a Travis Kelce, a George Kittle, whatever. It's like, oh, you have a completely different element that a lot of teams don't have. An inside linebacker, it's like, it's what made the Niners so good for so long, or the Bucks when they won their Super Bowl and they had two guys on the inside who were really, really good. It's like, he might be, I mean, you know, I said it before where I don't know what this team can do without Jaire Alexander out there. He might be that type of guy who's adding that little spark that this defense needs to lift off. I mean, this is a dumb thing to say, but even just like on social media, like I was very surprised with how many Packers posted after this game when like last week, I mean, we won two and they weren't, it seems like there's something going on with the team now where they're starting to feel themselves at the right time. Pause.
Did you say pause?
Yeah, because I said they're feeling themselves, which
hell yeah. I like it. Yeah, I don't know. Ooh, watching pause. Cooper play, watching Cooper play though is super exciting. So I can see why the team is getting, you know, if they're feeling themselves.
Yeah. Yes. Pause. And I mean, again, he's still really good, but the last time we saw him, I think it was Detroit, he did fuck up a couple of times where he didn't go to the right gap or he didn't go to the spot he should have. So I do understand why it's been slow at times getting him out there. But at this point, it's like, these next couple of weeks don't really matter much. So it's like, let's use him as preseason games, get him up to speed on everything, and hopefully we can just cruise on out all the way to, you know, a Super Bowl. That's probably what's going to happen.
Love it.
Pass rush, the Seahawks did not have a good offensive line to start, and then their center went down. And then from there, it was just... Do you know where the Packers are for sacks in the NFL, where they're ranked?
I don't know. I know their pressure rate's like really low before this game, but...
We are sixth in the league in sacks right now.
Wow.
And I feel like it's this game, it's the Titans game, and I think there was one other one. Maybe the Colts game, or maybe it was later than that. But I feel like
one early we did have a ton of sacks. It might have been Colts.
Which was I don't know if it was back-to-back, though, because Titans was early, too. But it's. I feel like half of our sacks have came in, like, three games, which is crazy. Yeah. But, I mean, this game, very, very fun. It's like, I'm rewatching, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Gary had a sack. It's now four sacks in five games, which is what we've been asking for. Devonta Wyatt, he had that cool spin move sack. It's always fun.
That
to
was
see
amazing.
Boy do that. We forgot about him. He started the season as our pass rusher. Like he led the team in sacks, I think, through the first month. And you just forget about it. I forget that he's a fucking first round pick. You know, when I think of Quay Walker, I'm always like, oh, this first round pick who hasn't done very good. And then it's like Wyatt just kind of gets a pass for whatever reason. I think maybe it's because he's a less visible position than inside linebacker. Sure. But if he can get things going now too, I mean, God, there's so many guys now kind of showing up on the defensive line.
If you missed the Wyatt play, you have to go back and watch it because he comes off the line so fast and he completely spin moves around the guard or the tackle or whoever's trying to block him. And like, can you imagine being the quarterback? You step back and you see this 300-pound dude spin around with a full head of steam and dive at you. Terrifying. Yeah, that's terrifying.
That's as normal-sized humans, we've never experienced that in our lives.
It's like a refrigerator just like running at you at like, I don't know, what's he run, like a 4.7?
Slow. LVN, he had that free hit on Geno that he didn't get flagged for, which I guess is fine. I guess it was a bang-bang play. That's why football should be played. JJ Inegbare or Kingsley, I don't know. On the Sunday night thing, he says Kingsley, but when he was drafted, he said he goes by JJ, so I guess you could call him either which one. Two sacks out of three plays, and that play in between, he still tackled the quarterback, which was pretty funny. Very reminiscent of Jerone Elliott having three sacks, or I think it was three sacks in four plays against the Rams in the preseason like 10 years ago now. Like, I'm never going to forget that. But it was one of those where it was like, oh, he got a sack. Oh, he almost, oh, three times in a row getting sacks on the play. Very, very shocking to see.
Is the Kyler Fackrell series.
That's right. Yeah. Brenton Cox had another sack too in this game, second to last drive. I mean, he either gets a sack on like the first series of a game or when the game is over, apparently.
Well, to be fair, he's not out there very often, so
I guess I'd like to see when they came. He had, I believe it was 20 sacks, and JJ had 22 sacks. So they are getting a pretty decent rotation here, even with these back end guys.
Wait, wait. You're saying Brenton Cox had how many?
I believe Brenton Cox had 20 snaps, and JJ Anagbari had 22 snaps.
Really?
I believe so. You can look it up if you want. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of when you look at the snap counts with the ends and the interior defensive line, there isn't a ton of, like, everyone's kind of within 25% of their snaps. Wow. It seems like
that's interesting.
But again, I mean, three sacks, he has three sacks since Preston was traded. And I don't
believe how many sacks does Preston have?
I don't believe he has any.
Got him.
At this point. Yeah. So, wow. Fleece. Yeah. Absolutely fleece the Pittsburgh Steelers. But yeah, I mean, how do you feel about the pass rush now? Because it's tough. It seemed like before we were like just poking a stick at Gary and Wyatt, and we're like, come on, someone needs to take hold of it. But now I feel like we have a decent rotation with, you know, even Cox and Aaron Mosby at the end, where they're not terrible and you see them out there and they're at least getting close to the quarterback and creating some pressure, which we were not getting, especially like the second month of the season.
It definitely all looks better. Like the rush looks better now. I would still like show me this kind of production, or not necessarily this level, but like show me solid production for another week or two and I'll really start believing in it. But like, at least I'll say this. It looks like they're not just running up the field, where like before, mm-hmm. that's what it felt like, is they're just pushing up the field, which is kind of like the opposite of what you want your 4-3, as I understand it. Like you want them to create chaos. So they should be moving in between gaps. They should be creating kind of like that havoc. And they were not doing that for the first half of the season. It was like super disappointing, where they were just, we'd rush four and they would just stay in their lane and get blocked. And it was like, what the hell is going on? We're now like, even look at Rashawn Gary's sack. He pushes upfield and immediately backtracks towards the center and gets the sack. And it's like, oh, like that looks like something that I would see the Bosa brothers do. Just like, it looks like a real pass rusher.
Yes.
Or I'm like, we didn't see that for weeks. It was super weird. Like, wasn't refined.
Moving on to the pass defense. Again, I mean, Geno threw for 149. Sam Howell, guess how many yards Sam Howell threw for?
I'm going to guess like 25 yards.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. 24. Yeah. You very obviously just looked at the box score. But yeah, I mean, gave up 100, or that's not right. It's his team total is 128, but that can't be true unless they're saying the 24 was negative. Come on, ESPN. What are we doing here? Valentine, very good game from him. He missed the INT on the one play.
No, every sack subtracts from the passing yards.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, yep. So I'm the dumb. I'm looking at that. I'm like, that math isn't mathing. But Valentine missed the pick on the one play. Very next play, picks it off and runs it out of the end zone. It was one of those where he starts running. Someone starts tackling him. He breaks it. It's like, okay, Carrington, why don't you sit down in the end zone now? And he's like, nope, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah,
If you can make it to past the 10, I think you're okay, as long as you don't back up the punting unit. But obviously he should have just sat on that bad boy.
There was so many guys around him. I'm like, if it's just you, if you pick it off and you got 10 yards of open space in front of you, go for it. But you have to break two tackles to get out of the end zone to maybe just take a seat, buddy.
Well, it was like a slow tackle that he broke too, where I'm like, oh, guys are going to be rushing him. He's going to get hit right here. So He's going to get to the one, is what I was thinking.
Right.
So I was pleasantly surprised to see him get some space there. But I was also surprised that that was his first career INT. I just assumed he had one last year. So that was a little,
weird.
Nice to see that. And again, I know he gets shit a lot, but Keyshawn, I like Keyshawn Nixon on this defense as long as he's thinking straight. He had another play this game where they tried a little screen pass out the wideout and he just ran him over. That was cool. I don't remember any negative plays, but he did have that pick a couple weeks ago too. He's the perfect like third corner, I think, kind of gadget player on your defense.
Did you see the play? It was on JJ's series where he got all the tackles.
Oh, he almost had that sack.
And yeah, and Keyshawn's coming down. He looked like when Sean Taylor hit that punter in the Pro Bowl, like where he just completely murdered him. I was like, oh no, Keyshawn's going to get a flag here for killing him. And then thankfully, like Sam Howell, like just stopped enough that he just got clipped and then tackled by Enagbare. But I was like, oh my God, he's going to kill him.
Guess who the only player is that played 100% of the snaps on the Packers defense this week?
100%?
Yep.
Xavier? I don't know.
Eric Stokes. Which what? I think the reason why, right? I think the reason why is because that last series, you know, they just put all the backups in.
He had to go in. He
so
was
they were
backup.
Like, Eric, you could stay out here. Like, he did play all of the snaps when we were actually playing in the game too, but a little surprising to see that. Did you see Justice Mosqueda talk about Stokes and the Charbonnet touchdown? So the one touchdown he gave up was
when
that
he didn't have
screen.
His mouth guard in.
Yeah. So if you watch, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to like Justice Mosqueda's Twitter account and scroll. I'm sure you'll find it. But beginning of the play, Eric Stokes does not have his mouth guard in. They throw the pass over to Charbonnet. It's a little screen. He sees it's a screen developing, so he gets his mouth guard off his helmet, tries to put it in his mouth, starts to run into the block. As he gets into the block, you see his mouth guard fly off his helmet, so he didn't get it in all the way. And then, obviously, Stokes didn't do anything. Charbonnet ends up scoring on that play, too. But just another... I hope he gets a pick before the season is over. He's in the last year of his contract with the Packers, so it would be nice for him to I don't know if we talked about this last week too, but he's at like over 900 snaps without a pass defense or an INT, which is like shocking. Like
without a pass defense, even job.
Right. When you have like, you know, Edgerrin Cooper, who just had a pick this last week, we've had Quay, who's had multiple balls go off his hands, and Eric Stokes, who's played quite a few snaps for us this year, especially with Jair being out, still hasn't defended a ball. It's like there's got to be a lot of averages at some point here.
I feel like Carl Brooks has like four passes defensed.
Yeah. Yeah, shit. He was doing that a lot as a rookie. I guess not as much this year, but he did have that. I don't know if you remember the Bears game. You see, aren't the Bears on like an 8-game losing streak right now?
I don't know. I think I watched a little bit of that game, though, with like we talked about with the Vikings. And Caleb looks so bad. He looks like garbage. Like there's wide open receivers out there, and he's just like zipping it into the stands. And it's like, what the hell?
You still see the potential with him because he can move around the pocket and make things happen, but
he's athletic.
He doesn't make the final play. Like the way he moves is still, I'm like, ooh, there might be something there. But again, he might get broken before someone actually helps him figure out NFL football.
He's regressed significantly though. And I know there's multiple people that have actually like done stories on it, like watching him. And it's like, I hadn't watched much Bears games, but like just since we played him last to the game yesterday against the Vikings, it was like, ooh, that dude, he can't hit the broadside of a barn. And there's wide open guys that he's not throwing at. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what week 18 is going to be like this year. Because are the Bears going to totally give up? Are they going to try to have one last hurrah and end the season on a high note? But I don't even know if like the players around Caleb like him at this point. It didn't seem like DJ Moore did at the beginning of the season.
I don't think he's a super likable guy. I don't think he's playing week 18.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't think we'll get to see him play again. Yeah.
Back up though. Long haired blonde boy.
He's probably better than Caleb at this point. So
Run D, I don't have a ton here. I mean, they had 16 rushes for 80 yards. Quick math there. It's okay, but not great. JJ on the second drive, turning that second and short to a third and longer. I don't know if anyone remembers his tackle for loss, but that was a huge play. And then on the next play, Gary had the sack, which turned it into a field goal. That was awesome. I mean, the Seahawks were moving the ball a little bit there on that second drive, so that was a huge play to slow it down. But other than that, I mean, we didn't have to really stop the run. We got them out of their game where they weren't going to have to or weren't able to run it in the second half anyway. So tough to be upset with the Packers defense there. Special teams, We can just rip through this. Nixon had that return. I mean, he was trying his darndest on those kick returns. Wasn't having much luck, but he runs so fucking hard on those. Reed had that muff, which was extremely scary, but at least he fell back on it.
How many has Reed had this year? How many muffed punts? It's a lot, right?
I want to say
is it just me?
I want to say three, but I don't know if we've lost any. Maybe we've only lost one. It is odd how I feel so much better with him back there than I ever did with Amari Rodgers. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's... But my thing is, like, put Keyshawn back there to return punts. Ugh.
If you want sure-handed, I would take Jaden Reed over Keyshawn. Keyshawn scares me.
Keyshawn hasn't dropped anything.
Keyshawn's had his issues too.
I'm going to look up. Is there a muffed punt stat? I don't feel like people keep track of that.
Just look up hottest muff team. Just Google that. Special teams. Daniel Whelan had that really bad punt for like 30 yards. It was very funny to hear Mike Tirico say yucky kick.
Yeah, that was good.
Kind of took me out of the game for a second. And McManus, again, we probably said a similar thing last week, but I don't even want to talk about him because he's made every kick he's supposed to make. He hasn't had a kick any long ones, and it's just we don't have to think about the kicker position anymore, and that's all I've ever wanted from our kicker the last 2 years.
Todd, doesn't look like there's a muffed punt stat.
Okay. Keep looking. Even if there's bad links, you know, just click those too. You have your safe search on.
Pretty much everything that's like popping up has to do with like the punters, not the returners.
Interesting. With that, take news for the week.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. Not a ton to talk about. Again, we're getting later in the season. That was week 15, so we've had 15 episodes talking about this team. Oh boy, what fun. So many fun things, but unfortunately, we are reaching the light at the end of the tunnel. Fuck, we only have 3 more regular season games. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, I just can't find the muff punt stat.
God, rats.
All right, I'll stop looking.
Okay. Packers, we're looking at the playoffs here, and I just wanted to update it again. It's getting a little interesting. So last time we talked about it, you know, it was looking like the Falcons. Well, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, it looked like Lions, 1 seed, Eagles, 2, Falcons, 3, Seahawks, 4, Vikings, 5, and then we'd be 6, and then whoever else. But now it's kind of flipped where with the Lions injuries, I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles end up with the 1 seed, the Vikings end up with the 2 seed, and then the Bucks and Rams kind of turn into those wild, or not the wild card teams, but the division winners, and then the Commanders still being that seventh team to sneak in. I'm just wondering, how are you feeling right now looking at the playoff implications here? Because I felt pretty good thinking Falcons, Seahawks having to play them, you know, at their home stadium. But now I'm like, I don't feel as good about the Bucks and the Rams as I would with those two other teams.
I definitely feel worse about playing the Bucks. I don't feel bad about playing the Rams, though. That doesn't scare me at all.
I feel better about the Rams, but it's still like we beat them when they didn't have... Did they have Stafford? Or am I thinking Brett Rippon last year? I think they did have Stafford, but they didn't have Puka, and they didn't have Cooper Kupp, and they got a decent running back in Kieran Williams. It's
he's good.
It's to the point now where even if we're the 7th seed, I don't care because no matter what, we're probably going to have to play two of the Eagles, Lions, and Vikings, and then one other team. And at this point, I don't know if there's a huge difference between any of those teams, right? We're going to have to play 3 of them anyways. It doesn't really matter if we're playing one of them a week earlier than we had thought. You know, I'd almost play the Eagles in the first round now than have to wait and slay the dragon later on.
Yeah, I don't know. It does feel like it's a tough playoff picture for sure. Like, I don't super know how to feel. Obviously, would much rather see the Seattle Seahawks. right? But they're like, basically looks like there's no chance that they get in, like, realistically.
We killed them.
Like,
we killed them, yeah.
Well, and like Gino being out.
Gino's ankle, yeah. It was such a terrible injury.
And they're done with no Gino. Like, Sam Howell, sorry, that dude's doing nothing. So, like, I don't know. I mean, and LA doesn't scare me. Washington, meh, I don't know. Tampa, Minnesota, Detroit, Philly, those are good teams, right? Like, Tampa's a little bit like the spoiler team that you just like don't want to play.
I don't want to play them at all. They're just very average to above average. Like, they're capable at every spot. You know, their defense is always going to be solid with Todd Bowles there. And Baker can make shit happen with just about anyone, it seems like, at points. So, and especially, I mean, last year Baker fucking had our number two. That was Joe Barry, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at it right now too. I have like the playoff machine thing from ESPN up, and just like when you just select the criteria, is like win percentage, and it gives you, if you do that right now, it actually has the Eagles as the one seed, which is interesting. But
right, I'm kind of assuming that.
Like, the certain places I wouldn't want to go play is more of like the thing for me. It's like, I don't really want to go to Minnesota and play in the playoffs. Like, that doesn't sound like fun.
Like, I feel good about our chances of winning that game. I guess we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks here, but just for what is at stake, the bragging rights there, it's like, we are your daddy. We've always been your daddy. And this is a potential thing for you guys to have some bragging rights for a long period of time.
It's just like going and playing in those indoor stadiums that are so loud. Like, I don't love that in the playoffs. Like, if we can get an outdoor stadium, that feels way better.
Fair. And it does make me think back to last year, and I think we talked about it a little bit at the time, but it's just what sucked about last year is we kind of peaked too early because it was wide fucking open. We weren't afraid of any team, especially after beating the Cowboys in the first round, because we should have beat the Niners. They were very beatable. We could have potentially beat the Lions had we won, but it's like, I think the Lions are better than they were last year. Maybe not anymore because everyone has died on that team. Fair. But looking around, it's just a much more, the depth of the NFC is much better than it was this time a year ago, which is the biggest thing that gives me the heebie-jeebies going into the playoffs here.
It's a good point about Detroit too. Like, they actually might not be that scary to play in the playoffs if they... The one thing was, like, they had plenty of injuries on defense, but their offense was, like, seemingly perfectly healthy for the entire season, and now it's not. And, like, I think without David Montgomery, they just don't look... It's just a different look to that team. It's just not as scary. And they already were like, they were just slowly coming back down to earth. Like, week after week after week, they went from running up, putting 50 burgers on people at the beginning of the season to like barely beating the Vikings, barely beating. Mm-hmm. Did they barely beat the Bears too or something?
Yes. Yes. On Thanksgiving. Remember at the end of the game shit, that's okay. How the guy got that's fired. Right. Eberflus.
And so it's like stuff like that where you're like, okay, like they're squeaking it. They squeaked one out against us. And then, you know, they ran into a situation where, you know, the Bills are bullies and they just manhandled them. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, they're just not as scary. They're not a scary team when they have to go for it on fourth down. They have to run all these trick plays. It's like all that it takes is for a couple things to not go their way and they lose. And like, that's what we saw. And I mean, realistically, they got bullied by the Bills.
Yeah. Like, who would you rather play right now in the playoffs, the Vikings or the Lions?
I think I'd rather play the Lions.
Yeah, I think I would too, which is like, again, I think humans are getting dumber. Short-term memory is just worse and worse because it's like we just lost to them. But I'm like...
But it's the Lions, like they fall apart.
Right. Yes. But I don't know. It's been different the last year. But again, it's... I don't know. We'll see what happens. But again, it's to the point now, 2 weeks later, where I don't care about who we play in the playoffs at this point because everyone's just, it seems like the Eagles and everyone else. And we should have beat the fucking Eagles week one. I don't think Jalen Hurts is all that good.
I don't either. Last time we were the sixth seed going to the playoffs, what happened?
I think you're wrong. I think we've made the playoffs as a sixth seed since winning the Super Bowl. I'm almost we were probably the sixth seed last year. Or were we the seven?
I don't know.
Who's to say? It looks like the rabbits got the gun now. Right? Is that how that works? I don't know how that works. God, we've gone. I don't know if we got time for this. I was thinking about this today. Something else. Moving on from the playoffs. I want to talk about the Packers' holes. Where do the Packers have holes? Where are their holes? I'm saying this because we're going to finally have some room in the salary cap. We can sign guys. And I had this idea. What if we've done so poorly drafting defense for the most part. Better now with Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams. Outside of that, I mean, who else is really good? I don't know if there's anyone who's a huge difference maker. But I'm almost like, should we just like draft offensive players and maybe a couple of defensive players and then just use our free agency money to sign defensive guys? Because the one thing we've been really good at is signing free agents and the pro personnel department with the Packers. I mean, Rasul Douglas, Devondre Campbell before he went crazy and all that. We've always found these hidden gems, and it's just like, do we need to use salary cap dollars for the defense and maybe not focus so much first round picks to swing that out? Or what do you think, Todd?
I mean, I like the idea of like drafting and developing, especially on defense. It's just that like, don't draft projects.
Yeah. Like, but that's what we have to. We got to take the Rascods.
But like we took a Rascod in Cooper, who was an actual product. Like that's
he's
a dude
the example
that you can look at and be like, this dude's really good, like at football, but also fast and strong and big. And so like, you've got that going for you. I don't know. It's tough to just watch these guys come in as projects. And then it's like, do we have the coaching staff to develop these ends? That doesn't super seem like we do. So is that a good idea?
Move on. Yeah, that would be tough to give
on offense,
Rebovich if he's around. Yeah,
you've got these guys on offense, these coaching staffs on offense. Offensive line coaches in Green Bay for forever have been great at developing guys. And then you look at like these other positions, like, yeah, like maybe we're not good at developing those positions. So like you have to go get guys that know how to play that position.
Yeah, just a thought, you know, I feel, and we've said it before, I was saying it going into last year, where if these picks hit, we might have a nice window here. This year is the first year of that real window. Next year, depending on how this season goes, it's like, that is the sweet spot of all the draft picks we hit on, not having to pay them, because like right now, there's really no one who we need to bring back next year who's like we're losing with the contract. Like TJ Slayton might be the only guy, and I might even be wrong on that.
Is that really true? We really don't have anybody to re-sign?
No, because that draft class was so bad. It's the Eric Stokes class. So it's Eric Stokes, Josh Myers, Josiah DeGuara, I believe, who maybe that might have been the year before, and then we ended up cutting him. But it's just, there's really no one who we're missing out on after this season.
That's wild.
Moving on. Ooh, actually, do you have the stump spenny?
I, in fact, have it ready.
Oh, it's right there, ready to go.
It is.
I think I'm like, I might be two over now. Like, I'm very smart this year.
I'm sure Billy's got it all tabulated somewhere.
That's true. Yeah, he's got an Excel sheet.
All right, stump spenny for the week. Since 2015, three players who played at least 3 years in Green Bay have recorded carries for New Orleans. Name two of them.
Jamal Williams.
Yep.
Have had carries?
Correct. Have carried the ball for New Orleans.
Fuck. Oh. Since 2015.
Correct.
So I'm going to go with Taysom. Wait. Oh, so not Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is before 2015. Okay, so judging by that, Taysom Hill is also on the list. Is Taysom Hill on the list?
No.
Oh, so he's before.
Yes.
Okay, I want to go for all three. I think MVS might have multiple carries for the Saints this year.
Nope.
Oh, well, fuck. Okay. Well, God damn it. Well, that means I lost. Who else do we have for... Trying to think who else could have gone, who went to the Saints.
I'll give you a hint since you already lost it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a man with a beard.
A man with a beard on the Saints. Not Josiah DeGuara.
Super double emergency quarterback for the Packers.
John Kuhn. Oh, John Kuhn. I like how beard is what you went with. Didn't you say there was three?
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
He was the wide receiver slash running back that we had.
Oh, God. Swervin Irvin?
No. Ty Montgomery.
Ooh. Oh, duh. Yeah, I should have got that one. Yeah, when you Google MVS, it brings you to the Minnesota Department of Public Safety.
Yeah, motor vehicle safety.
Yeah. God, that makes sense. I'm gonna look. Can you look up if MVS has two carries this year? Because if he does, I would like to take that as me getting it right for the season. But with that, Todd, we have our preview of the Saints. We are playing the Saints on Monday night at 7:15 on ESPN. We have Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I had to Google who the commentators were because I forgot who Monday Night Football is, because, you know, the last 2 years it's been kind of Amazon and this and everyone kind of moving around with the musical chairs and all that and Tom Brady getting involved. The Saints are not a good football team. They are 5-9, third in the NFC South. Yes, Todd?
One carry.
Just one carry. Fuck.
I looked for 4 yards.
Okay, I looked up the stats from last week, and I'm like, well, he's been there for a month. Maybe he got multiple carries.
With Kansas City, he also had one carry for -3 yards.
This year?
No, 2022.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I didn't think he was with them this year as well. But yeah, Saints 5-9, third in the division. Lost last week to Washington, 22-19. Darren Rizzi is their head coach. He should be the Packers special teams coordinator, but Mark Murphy is an idiot. He became their head coach after Dennis Allen was fired a couple weeks ago. He's been an okay coach. They turned around a little bit, but they're still obviously not a very good team. Packers are favored by 14 points. The over under is 42. So that just shows you Vegas is expecting a blowout, and they are not expecting the Saints to score many points in this game. Again, it is at Lambeau. And right now there is a chance of snow on Monday. It's going to be right around 30 degrees, so we'll see. It has been a weird winter so far up north, too. Last year, it was very mild. It snowed once in October, and it didn't feel like it snowed again until January. And this year, it's like we'll get little dustings. We've had a couple little tiny snowstorms. And then all of a sudden, it'll be 40 degrees for a couple days. And then, like, last week, it was fucking zero for, like, 3 days in a row, and it was taking the garbage out or bringing your dog out. It's like, oh man, this is not fun. My nipples are getting hard. I can feel my nostril hairs. You know, do you agree with me, Todd?
Yeah. When you walk your cat in that kind of weather, it is brutal.
That sounds like something Hank would say.
That does sound like Hank-esque.
Saints offense this year. And I mean, we're getting at the end of the year here. Derek Carr is dead, or David. Yeah, it is Derek Carr. But on the year, they're 18th in points per game at 22.1. Rushing, they're 12th in yards per rush at 4.4. They are 18th in yards per pass, which is 7th. So I don't know. They're just kind of a weird offense, I guess. But again, this team is banged up. No Carr, no Taysom Hill. Chris Olave is brain dead, and Kamara might even be out as well. He got banged up in last week's game. And again, offensive players, it sounds like Spencer Rattler will start. Very beautiful name, but he's an ugly dude. The rookie fifth-round pick out of South Carolina. Last week, he finished 10 out of 21, 135 yards and one touchdown. So we'll see if he's got more of that phenomenal play in the bag. Kendre Miller, the second-year running back, was the main guy getting carries last week with Kamara being out. Again, Kamara's been banged up, had a really hot start to the season. He has 950 yards rushing. Guess how many receiving yards Alvin Kamara has on the season?
400.
543. You just forget what a weapon that dude is out of the backfield. That's a lot for running back. MVS, who we just talked about for a little bit there, definitely not too much. He was their leading receiver last week. The most MVS stat line ever, 2 for 64. He had a long of 39. All other receivers are just not good. Dante Pettis, who's still playing in the league, he was like their second or third leading receiver. Foster Moreau and Juwan Johnson are their tight ends. They're just warm bodies at this point. And I'm going to just assume the offensive line isn't very good. The defense is solid according to the numbers, 22.3 points per game, which is 13th best. They are 20th against, or these are the points that they've given up recently. They give up 20 against Washington, 11 against the Giants, 21 against the Rams, 14 against the Browns, and 17 against Atlanta. So that's not bad. I mean, they've, for not knowing anyone besides what, Cameron Jordan or whatever on their defense, and the Honey Badger is still there too. It's like, that's a pretty solid defense, I guess. But so those are points, which, you know, if you play football, points are kind of the most important thing.
Some would say.
So again, they're very solid. They're 13th best in points allowed. They are 30th in yards allowed with 376, which I found to be very surprising. It seems like they've gotten a lot of good luck, or maybe not a ton of turnover, or they've gotten a lot of turnovers, whatever. Defensive players, DeMario Davis, their linebacker, has been solid, kind of one of the guys leading the way there. He can do a little bit of everything. Brian Breece, I think the second-year player, defensive tackle, leads the team with 7.5 sacks. They have Chase Young and Carl Granderson, who each have 5.5. And I mean, Chase Young is their second leading sack getter, and he's still just a weird player. You see clips of him on Twitter sometimes, like being very lackadaisical on defense. And again, Cameron Jordan is still on their team playing just fine. The Honey Badger leads that team with 3 picks. Paulson Adebo is their top corner, who also has 3 picks. And the only player that they have who's like in the running to make a Pro Bowl, or is leading, I should say, I'm sure Kamara's up there too, is their rookie punter, Matthew Hayball. Matthew Ooh. Hayball. That is such a punter name. It, again, I mean, we say it, we probably said it dozens of times on this podcast throughout the years, but a create a player name, it seems like. But Todd, those are the Saints. Again, Monday Night Football, I'll always think of playing the Saints at Lambeau, the 2011 season. Randall Cobb returning the kickoff for the touchdown, John Kuhn helping him up and helping him continue down, and then the goal line stand at the end of the game with rookie Mark Ingram with the Saints, but another Saints-Packer game at Lambeau. Todd, what are your thoughts?
This feels like a team that doesn't have a whole lot to play for at this point and doesn't have an influx of talent, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay. Those are really good thoughts. They're thorough.
I was distracted while you were talking about all that because I did find the punt return muffs statistic.
Okay.
So we could circle back.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. Is it really interesting? I bet it is.
Jaden Reed is tied for third worst in the league.
Ooh. Okay.
For muffed punts, he has 2. Jaquan Jackson and Olamide Zaccheaus have 3.
Where does Zaccheaus play?
Washington, I believe.
And what was the other name?
Jaquan Jackson.
For Tennessee. The Bears? Oh, Tennessee. I'm trying to remember if Whelan.
I think.
If Whelan punted one of them banana balls that had one of those guys muffed. Well, I guess it's not. 2 isn't very good.
Do you want to know how many Keyshawn Nixon has dropped?
How many?
It's
0.
It's less than 1. Let's leave it there.
Perhaps half. I mean, he had a couple last 0. Year he didn't feel very good about, but yeah, I agree with you there, Todd. The Saints, they just don't seem to be a team that are very concerned. I don't know. They're not in any running. They're not playing for their special teams coach all that hard. Their guys are dying. It should, you don't want to say you're going to look past them, but if this game
doesn't feel like a trap game though.
No, it does not feel like a trap game. Monday Night Football, too, it feels like a shitty Monday night game for a national audience where, I mean, I'm going to say things I'm going to regret, but where the game is over at halftime. I still remember when I don't know if it's when I first moved down here or when I came through here to visit. We went and watched the Packer-Bears game, or no, Packers-Vikings game at the Buffalo Tap.
Okay. Vaguely remember.
It was a Packer bar, it said, but it clearly wasn't a huge Packer bar. Maybe we were there. I mean, it was a Viking game, so it was a little tougher. It cleared out at halftime. It was that game where I think it was like 28-0. It's when Julius Peppers scored a touchdown.
Sure.
If it wasn't him, it was Clay Matthews, but it was just a huge Aaron. I feel like there's the potential of that in this game. Like, we're just going to shit all over this team.
It does feel like shit all over him, but also the way that this offense has been functioning, it doesn't feel like run up the score.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. And again, seeing we're favored to be favored by 14 points and that's Vegas having
bowled
and the over under being 42. I'm just wild. Like, this is a recipe for us to absolutely shit all over them. So we'll see. Is Jamal, no, where does Jamal Williams play?
I'm pretty sure he's still there.
Really? Is he still on the roster?
I think so.
Huh, and it's at Lambeau. I am a little surprised that has been talked about as much because he was a bit of a beloved player.
Yeah, he's still on the squad.
Huh, okay, well, maybe we'll see him. He'll be throwing footballs with fans ahead of time when he's warming up. That's one thing that he kind of started doing when he was in Green Bay, and now they're doing it more around the league. So very fun. Saints, God, I'm trying to think. Is there... I hope it's straightforward. I hope it's a fun game. It's Monday night. It's it's Christmas Eve. So there's just so many ramifications with this game. Todd, let's just get right into it, man. Let's just dive right in. What is your score prediction? I want to know your score prediction. No one else. Yep. Just yours.
Nobody else. My score prediction is 26-16. I think... We'll put up a bunch of points early, but then just kind of coast and let them slowly kick field goals and start to come back.
Okay. What is Billy's score prediction?
Billy has 34-16.
Okay. A little bit better. I have the Packers winning 10-38. I think we're going to shit on this team. I mean, it's Spencer Rattler. It's a rookie quarterback.
And he's ugly, as you mentioned.
He's ugly. He's got buggy eyes. I don't know. He's an ugly dude. He's got a beautiful name.
Is he like kind of redheaded?
Maybe. That's a good question. We'll find out on Monday.
Yeah, we'll get to see him.
Yeah, we'll get to see him. So with that, Todd, what is your bold prediction for this game?
I'm looking at a picture of him right now. It's more like blonde, but kind of red. I don't know.
I'm looking at a picture of MVS. He has beautiful teeth. He got veneers. Him and Kenny Clark each got veneers at the same offseason.
Or good braces.
Nope, it was veneers. It was way too quick.
Wow. Okay. Anyways, you don't know where the dental world
cheaters.
Is at these days.
Yeah.
My bold prediction, I'm going to say Jordan Love throws for over 300 yards. He's been game manager for a month.
I don't think that's bold enough.
350.
360. I'll give you a deal.
Tucker Kraft, 3 touchdowns.
your same prediction from last week.
I'm doubling down. Tucker Kraft, 3 touchdowns. Run it.
Okay, Tucker Kraft, 3 touchdowns. What is Billy's bold prediction?
Bold prediction is Gary having 2.5 sacks. Or more, seemingly. He didn't say that, but I'm going to say that for him.
Okay. Bold prediction. I don't have anything written down. God, do we have any former Saints on this squad?
On the Packers right now?
Yeah.
Like for a revenge game, you're thinking?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. I don't think so. Oh, I remember what I had now. So, you know, he's definitely the coach whose name we've brought up the most throughout the 6 years who has not coached for the Packers, and Darren Rizzi. I don't know if you know this, special teams coordinator. At home, going to be a little cold, a little breezy, maybe a little bit of snow, maybe some slippage going on. We saw how hard Keyshawn was running his ass off last week. I have the Green Bay Packers with a special teams touchdown this week. Maybe it's Keyshawn, maybe it's Jaden, maybe we force a block punt and we recover it in the end zone because we cannot advance it, but I have the Packers scoring a special teams touchdown on Monday.
You don't want to call your shot?
No. I think that's pretty broad enough. It's pretty bold enough. Saying
I think you could say
yards.
Return. You could say
think,
return touchdown. I think
300 yards for a quarterback to throw.
That's not what I said. I said Jade. I said... That's not what
you
I said.
You got me there really good. With that, everyone's favorite part of the episode. If you could please leave a 5-star review on Apple or I almost said Apple or iTunes on Apple or Spotify, that would be cool. You can leave a review on Apple. No comments this week.
On iTunes? What are we on?
We're probably on iTunes, but I think that's just like a thing for to format stuff. When I use our Zoom audio, I have to convert it using iTunes.
Apple Music or something, or what would we?
Yeah, I don't know.
The podcast. There's a podcast app.
Yes, yes.
We're on that.
Yes, go on your Apple app. Leave a 5-star review. Yeah, it is purple. It's purple.
If you need to find it. Look for the purple app.
Look for the purple app. Go on top. And, you know, we used to say this, and I did get a new phone this week. And I've said, hey, if you're getting a new phone, you know, go on the sample phones and go in and review. I tried it on one of the phones when I was waiting in line. Did not work.
What do you mean it didn't work?
You got to be, like, signed in through an account. And there was no Apple account for, like, the display iPhones. What? And I'm like, oh, my God. I've got all the pros from, like, 16 Pro to, like, 13 all or 14 all here. Like I could get 6 reviews. Did not work. I don't know if that's ever worked, to be honest, but it does not work anymore. So
you could probably do, like, if you picked up like one of the Galaxies or the Pixels or something like that, I'm sure you don't even need an account to operate those phones.
Yeah, maybe I should have gone on Spotify too or looked that way, but
there isn't even like passwords on those phones. They're just it's for grandma and grandpa.
But with that, leave a comment on this episode, Todd. What's one good question? So maybe someone will leave a comment this week.
A good question for like the fans to answer?
Yeah, on Spotify.
Let's see. Tell us your favorite memory of the Packers beating the Vikings. Because like next week we'll talk about the Vikings, you know, so.
Okay, good save. You had me worried there. I'm like, that we were playing the Saints and...
Well, there's like, what are you talking about with the Saints? They're not even like... We don't even have like a rivalry with the Saints at all. So it's like, meh.
I do love how much Viking fans still just despise the Saints.
Can I start with mine? How about when Jordy Nelson had the first touchdown in that stadium? I like that.
Oh, against the Vikings? Yeah, but we lost that game.
Well, that's not the memory that I brought up. I brought up the memory of us scoring the first touchdown.
So a memory that I have, sucks. I was at the last Viking game at the Metrodome, Packer Viking game at the Metrodome. And I think you were at the first one at TCF.
I was. I think I went to like 3 at TCF.
Yeah, you did have that run.
It's a great place.
Where Favre ended his career because they didn't have heating coils in it when the dome collapsed. So they had to play at TCF and he got his head slammed against the literal
frozen ground.
That was the end of his career. So I was at the last game at the Metrodome, which was great for several reasons. One, I think Micah Hyde had a punt return touchdown. Jordy had a long touchdown. Greg Jennings may or may not have. He might not have been at the team at that point, but boat raced him. And at the end of the game, there was a Viking fan leaving, and I was up in like the nosebleeds, me and my buddy Andrew. And as he was leaving, he pulled his pants down to start mooning all the Packer fans, because there was a lot of Packer fans there. And as he pulled his pants down, he tripped. And he started falling down the stairs with his ass hanging out, and it was core memory for my life. Almost. So this week on eBay, I wasted some money. Hopefully my fiance doesn't hear me. So I was going to bid on a game ball from that game given to Ryan Pickett. I forgot what he did, but I should have maybe gotten that one. It ended up going for like $50, but it was a game ball given to Ryan Pickett last game at the Metrodome. However, instead, I spent more money for Ryan Pickett's game ball against the Jets in 2010. When we won 0-9, which was the year we won the Super Bowl. So now once it gets here, I've purchased it, have not received it yet, but I have a painted game ball. It wasn't used in the game, but I was like in historical things. And I'm like, this football is from the Super Bowl season. And now I own it. I own the history. This is mine now. So there you go.
Why are these things up for sale? Like, is Ryan Pickett selling his things? I don't understand.
I think so. Because a couple months ago, there was like a Packers defensive playbook from like 2014. Well, I assume he just doesn't care about it too. And I, not like maybe this devalues it a little bit, but Ryan Pickett did not play in the game against the Jets for the game ball that I got. He was hurt that game, so maybe he had less of a connection to that game ball. And the other ones were all kind of like, I think when Mike McCarthy would always give out a lot of balls, it was like that one for the shutout, every player on defense got a ball. You know, so I think those other ones too were, one of them was like 13-3 season, so I'm sure everyone on the team got a ball. One, I don't think any of them were like explicit Ryan Pickett huge game type deals. So there you go.
I hope he's doing okay. I hope he's not needing the $50.
Me too. Big Grease. He was a good player. He was with us for a while too. I would think. Yeah. I hope he saved up his money, Ryan Pickett. Yeah, I haven't seen him at like any of the alumni shit too, but hey, I hope he's doing well along with all our other past friends who are all doing swimmingly, right? Packer people.
Packer people eaters.
Mm-hmm. With that, Todd, do you have anything else?
No.
Very cool. With that, I don't have anything else. I don't know when the next episode will be out. Maybe it'll be next Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. Oh, shit. Merry Chrysler.
Christmas. Yeah. Christmas is coming.
Yeah. Shit. When are we going to record? I guess you guys will figure Tuesday? Out whenever this pops up. But Tuesday's Christmas Eve.
No, Wednesday's Christmas.
Yeah. Tuesday's Christmas Eve. I'm going to be in Iowa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How about Monday?
That's when we're playing.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Yeah. Fuck. Maybe I might have to bring all this shit to Iowa. Maybe that's what we'll do. So there you go. Tune in for that. Todd, did you find anything that you have to talk about?
We need to put Keyshawn Nixon at punt returner, and we need to put Jaden Reed. Also, Jaden Reed, you're on offense. You can touch the ball whenever you want. Let some of the defensive boys touch the ball.
That isn't how it works when you're a wide receiver. You can't demand it.
Well, he fumbled twice. And how many times has he double caught those balls and almost fumbled them?
That's everyone. Everyone that plays wide out for this team double catches the ball outside of Romeo Dubs, who will just outright drop them. But the double catching, everyone does that on this team.
Nope.
With that.
Reed.
With that. AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy, just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me. Hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here. I got a six. Is it Nerf or nothing?
Maybe. NF Cable, so we didn't nicotine get cool commercials.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were watching Caillou and that type of bullshit.
You mean Saturday morning cartoons? Recess? Recess? You trying to hate on Recess? Let me hear it.
Yeah, what was yeah? Hey, Recess was fine. Recess. You know what I liked about Recess?
The show or the event?
The diversity.
Yeah.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.